Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
Did you expect the Rockets to go in and take care of business?
No, I expected them to be competitive, though. That's all.
That's fair.
I just wanted to see a competitive game. And I flipped over from, I gave up on the debacle with a couple minutes left. So I flip over to watch the Rockets are down 25. I'm like, screw this.
Yeah, by halftime, it was, what's going on here? What's even the point?
Well, here's what's going on. 7 of 42 on three-pointers. 7 of 42.
Is that good?
That is not good. Listen, you can be a fan of a team and go to every game and be excited about them and root for them like crazy and also recognize that, hey, maybe this isn't going to work. You know, I mean, I wish I had that kind of fandom. Part of it, too, my whole life has been covering teams, and you can't really be a fan. And so I spent 20 years in a business where I couldn't be a fan, whether I wanted to or not.
Yeah.
And so it's like now I kind of could, but I don't really have that passion anymore because I'm old.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number 3. 713-780-ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776. Or get on the Blitz Facebook page and send a message so that Aaron can make himself useful. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitz. At Degenerates 975, you can text the show. You should know the number for that. There's also the Twitch channel. You should know the number for that. Missed the first 2 hours. That's some of what you missed. Been a very very sportsy and non-sportsy show today. It's all available at podcastarena.com. At least the next hour will be shortly. And no matter how you're listening today, really appreciate you tuning in. Hope you're having a great Friday. Hope you're going to have a great weekend. And hopefully we all do. And we all survive coronavirus for another 2 days. That's the plan.
We've been talking more NBA than we normally do, but did you see that Steph Curry played last night?
Yeah, I did. I don't know why they're playing him.
It's crazy.
They're going to mess
around and win games.
Yeah, don't do that.
If it weren't for a good late push by the Raptors, they were in that game.
Yeah.
They covered. It was a 2-point game with a minute left.
Yeah.
And the Raptors they're a pretty good team. So I don't know what the Warriors are thinking. Listen, you want that draft pick, you need to tell Steph, hey, rest up, bro.
Yeah, he needs to
put your hand in
he
ice.
He needs to tweak an ankle or something and just say, hey, take the rest of the year off.
But I get it. He loves the game. He wants to be playing, and that's admirable and all. But damn, they're gonna. I mean, if they almost beat the Raptors, they're gonna beat some of these junky teams that they play,
like the Rockets.
Well,
yeah. They beat them without him.
Yeah.
So, Matt says, I work for a major airline and just got back from a work trip, and I've never seen the interior of our planes look so clean.
Good.
Taking the family to Florida and Mexico for spring break. Some great deals right now. Thank you, coronavirus. Yeah, the airlines are really, really suffering right now from what I understand because
they're spreading it.
You know,
it's on them.
And people are just like, I don't want to deal with this. So, and somebody says, Sean says it's for the fans and ticket sales. I still think they sell tickets pretty well there. I haven't really been paying attention, though. Maybe they're not.
They sell out. They're good.
Yeah, it's still a brand new arena.
Yeah.
Which, have got an alien update for you. Alien life may be lurking within a mysterious crater under the surface of Mars, scientists claim.
I always say that scientists are smart, but then something like this happens. I'm like, oh, God, what are
they
doing? Well,
an eerie crater on the dusty slopes was picked up by two space scientists as a prime spot for extraterrestrials. It says the unusual feature...
As opposed to a bad spot for them?
Well, I mean, the bad spot for them is the surface, because you don't want to live on the surface of Mars. You're not going to last long.
Unless you're an alien.
Or you're Matt Damon. But NASA says the unusual feature appears to be an opening to an underground cavern. And about 35 meters across. And so they think alien life may be lurking in that strange opening. You know, I love me some aliens. But until we actually see one, can we quit guessing? Hey, there's a hole in the ground.
Got to be aliens.
Got to be an alien. You know, maybe they should poke their little head out. Just say hello. All right. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. Hey, we're talking about some of these a little baseball talk here for a second, because the Astros may find themselves in this position here in a year or two. But remember when we thought the Cubs were going to be a dynasty when they finally won the World Series? Apparently, they're in a position where they may sell off everything here.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. Theo Epstein has even come out and said, we have to be very objective about what we have in the middle of the season. If we have a legit World Series contender, that's meaningful. But if we don't, you can't be blind to the realities of the following 18 months.
Man.
So that means a guy like Chris Bryant, who's
they've already been trying to move him.
Yeah. But sell off everything. It just, that almost seems unbelievable to me.
It is. Because that team makes money.
Yeah.
They're not sisters of the poor. I mean, they've always been willing to spend, even when their team was bad, because people fill up that stadium. Not only that, and they expanded the stadium.
And they've got a really good TV deal and everything else. But, I just find it amazing how fast. And, you look at a couple, like the Indians, I can understand why they've sold off a bunch of their parts. Because they can't afford
to fill up their stadium every day.
No. But the Cubs, unless they just have the wrong parts now, which maybe that's the truth. The shocking thing to me, your 3-in-a-row World Series winners, Cubs, Astros, Red Sox. The Red Sox get rid of their best player and basically
they're all dumping payroll.
Yeah, they're throwing in the tank. The Cubs are ready to sell everybody off. The Astros are trying to stay under the luxury tax line in what might be their last year with this group together. I mean, they could bring back, Brantley's probably gone. Springer's probably gone. Maybe Tucker replaces one of those guys.
Or Verlander.
I think Verlander's under contract for another. I thought that extension he signed was 2 years.
Oh, maybe it was.
I'll have to double check on that, Aaron, but I'm pretty sure he signed a 2-year extension. So I think you have him and Greinke back for one more year.
Well, even then, you still got to think about what Verlander's going to be in 2 years.
Yeah, they're a year older. So, I mean, this, and who knows? I mean, I think right now going in, you feel like those guys still have something left for this year.
Yeah.
But it's a lot to ask for him to have something left for next year. Although Verlander seems to not really be slowing down that much.
He doesn't.
His velocity.
But when it hits, it hits.
Yeah.
And it hits everybody.
Yeah. Never hit Nolan Ryan until he got in his 40s.
That's true.
So maybe
you could say that, but how many other guys were able to do that?
Not many guys can pitch in their 40s and still have that kind of velocity.
Yep. He is under contract for $33 million in 2020 and 2021.
Yeah. All right. That's what I thought when he signed his extension. So really you're looking at a 2-year window, but if you get into next season and you're not a contender, do you start?
What are you doing?
Well, I think you start moving guys like Verlander and Greinke if they're still good. I think that's
That'd be a tough sell.
I know it'd be a tough sell, but it's also, I mean, the reality is, if you're at that point, you're not going to win. You got to punch the button.
Yeah, no, you're right.
And I don't think anybody thinks the Astros are punched the button yet, but we'll see how it is in a year or two.
All right, guys, I got to tell you about Allstate. And we often talk about the windows aspect of Allstate siding and windows. I rarely tell you about the siding. It's never been easier to get siding done. Remodeling, call Allstate Siding and Windows. Time to change out those old aluminum windows for solid, beautiful windows from Allstate Siding and Windows. And you can get your siding done while you're at it. While you're at it today, they've got the best, the state-of-the-art siding. It's more durable with wind and weather impact, energy-efficient siding that's going to save you on your water bills, or on your electric bills. And they've got spring specials going right now. No payments for 2 years, and you'll save $2,500 off all sidings. Family-owned and operated for over 4 generations. You want the best rate, you call Allstate. Allstate Siding and Windows, 832-204-1936. That's 832-204-1936. 204-1936, or check them out online, allstatesidingandwindows.com. That's Allstate Siding and Windows.
You're listening to the
All right, let's go back to Barry Laminack, who is out there doing a little BMX action. I was telling him I did it when I was 16 and I suck, so I went back to motorcycles. Barry, they're going to get you on a bike out there?
No way, dude. I'm not going to show off my bunny hop skills. No way. I'm keeping that in the family. That's embarrassing. No, I'm out here at the Rockstar Energy Drink Bike Park. It's brand new, built in October. They're already having the USA BMX Lone Star Nationals, and the folks that win here are going to qualify for the World Championships, which will also be held out here at the bike park in May, May 26th to the 31st. And they wanted me to tell you guys, they can get tickets right now for $75 to the World Championships. Prices are going to go up after Sunday, so go log on to HoustonBMX2020.com to get those tickets. But right now, it's absolutely free. Just come out here. I'm here till 7. Come hang out. Let's watch some races. If somebody lets me borrow their bike, maybe I'll do an endo. Is that the right word? I don't even know what that means. There's food trucks. There's plenty of parking. Come hang out with me.
All right. Give them the address one more time.
Yeah, that's right. It's Kirkendall and 45 Bones. Just hop on I-45 head north, exit Rankin, Kirkendall. Make the U-turn. You can't miss it.
All right, that's Barry Laminack. Go check him out. How long are you going to be there, Barry?
7 o'clock.
All right, he'll be there till 7. All right, thanks, Barry.
All right, see you guys.
All right.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz, and you know what that music means. It is time for the gambling guru of the universe, the legend. Okay, well, sure. Well, he'll be here in a minute.
He's going to get a half-assed intro now.
Yeah, I had such a good intro for him. Yeah. And now it's going to be, all right, it's RJBill, pregame.com. So, yeah, Barry sounds like he's having fun out there, the BMX park. So, yeah, well, we'll get to those good. All right, let's, now that I've wasted the good intro, we'll just go with the we'll go with the mediocre intro. That he's the gambling guru of the universe, pregame.com, RJBill. RJ, is Fezzik,
hey guys.
Is Fezzik with you today?
He is with us today. How's my level? I know sometimes we have a little trouble. Everything good?
Yeah, you sound magnificent.
Yep, you sound
awesome.
You sound like a champion. So I have a question for Fezzik before we get started today.
Okay.
Is he power ranking the XFL?
Listen, let me say this, and he's going to give you some info here. He has backup quarterback rankings
nice.
For the XFL. And it's funny, Fezzik, you can share this. Is the way that this makes you feel like a handicapper in like 1973 and all the stories about Bob Martin, Jimmy the Greek, Frank Rosenthal, and oh, they had someone that worked on a train and the train comes through Vegas and they give them newspapers from across the country and they got the Kansas City Star from 4 days ago. It's kind of how you feel.
That is a perfect analogy because so often in these major sports, NBA, NFL, whammo, every single piece of news information is being tweeted and it is out there for everyone. And here in the XFL, it's almost like being in a time machine and we've gone back 30 years where the gathering of the information and the like, it just seemingly is being ignored or unknown to the vast majority of the bettors.
I want to know how smart I am because number one in my power rankings is not the undefeated team. I'm curious where you come down on this.
So you want to give your power rankings?
Sure. So the number one team is the undefeated team, Houston. But I'm guessing you've got St. Louis
I do.
As your number one team.
I have St. Louis.
Fez is so on right now, he's going to tell you why you're wrong. He's going to tell you what's right. Then he's going to guess what the one you got wrong and tell you why you're wrong.
Yeah, the reason you got it wrong is that St. Louis on the scoreboard looks great. I get it. They run the ball an awful lot. But in terms of their underlying stats on offense and defense, they are like the New England Patriots used to be for years. Their stats don't look that good, but on the scoreboard, St. Louis looks great.
So yeah. Response from?
Freddie the Beetle Bond.
Yeah, they also absolutely outplayed Houston in Houston. And really, especially in the second half, they dominated time of possession. They dominated yardage. They had two interceptions that got returned, and we always talk about turnovers and the randomness of those. And that's their only loss. Everybody else they've handled. So, and I think Tom is.
So, how do you respond to that, Fez?
Well, I think they're excellent points. And bottom line, the other three games Houston won were more impressive than the other three games that St. Louis won. But it's a great point that St. Louis did outplay Houston in that game.
I don't know. They were out to beat Dallas last week. They took an interception on the 1 yard line. It took an interception in the fourth quarter to beat the Vipers the week before. The only game they've been impressive was the first game against the Wildcats. Every other game has come down to the wire with the Roughnecks. And this is from a Roughneck season ticket holder, by the way.
Here's a paradox, though. A team Houston could be the lesser team. Who's the other team?
St. Louis. The Battlehawks.
Yeah, and this is a concept to me because I don't handicap the XFL, but here's a concept that I think is important, Faz. Tell me if you agree. It's possible that St. Louis would beat Houston most of the time, and Houston is the better team. And not just randomness, but rather it's matchups, right? Perhaps the matchups favor one team, but in general, the other team's better.
Yeah, that's a great point. And that, well, could be the case because Houston, frankly, is a bully with Walker. He's at quarterback. Oh, look,
he's mentioning players, so oh, yeah. you know he's ready.
Well, they're winging the ball all over the place. So Houston is built to murder teams, whereas St. Louis is built to just wear down other teams. So it makes sense their margins aren't going to be as high as Houston.
See, I love this because I've gotten into betting this stuff, so I wanted to get your take on it since I know you're the best. So there you go.
Well, listen, I'll tell you this. This is the kind of thing, if you want to win, and I don't obsess over talking to winning because it takes so much to win. What we want to do is help people win more. If you were going to lose X and then you listen to Fez, you listen to pregame.com's free stuff, whatever, and you lose half as much, well, you've really effectively improved your net performance by whatever that amount is. Let's just say it's $2,000 you would have lost in a year. You lose $1,000. You just made $1,000. You might say, well, what's the optimal bet when you have negative expectation? Oh, zero. Right? So, yeah, Kelly says zero in that case, but people want to bet, right? So they're doing it recreationally, thus – I think you could make more, you could have a better net effect for bettors and worse for bookies by helping losing bettors cut their losses in half as taking a much smaller group of potential winning bettors and helping optimize. Now, our approach works in both ways, but the whole get rich quick crap, most sites won't say what we're saying. Most bettors are going to lose. We just want to improve the results. And if there's one piece of advice to do that, it's narrow what you bet and make it in illiquid markets. Meaning NFL sides, that's the worst thing because you could bet $100,000 on those. So you bet Sunday NFL sides, you're competing against the biggest bettors, not only the Fezzix of the world, but the biggest bettors in the world, the syndicates, Fez, you're not betting $100,000 a game. Fez is betting thousands a game. And that makes a great living. He has a mansion and a yacht. But the NFL syndicates, they're groups of 6, 8, 10, 15 people. They can't bet the XFL. What's the limits?
Dime, 1,000.
You got 29 outs, but yeah, you want to get down 10,000, you can get down 10,000. You can't get down 100. Can't get down even 50. Thus, why play poker against Doyle Brunson and Phil Ivey, which is NFL sides, if you're trying to win now? If you're just having fun, NFL sides are the way to go for most people. XFL, WNBA, those are awesome because for the average batter and beyond, you can bet enough. Even WNBA nickels, you got two, you get four, five outs, you bet a dime a game, nickel. That's pretty good betting. But the syndicates aren't in that market, which allows you a much better chance to win. And last thing, you could do it by just picking a conference in college basketball and focusing on totals. I mean, the market for totals, Fez, is even less than WNBA.
Oh, and it's gotten worse and worse. College basketball totals, RJ, you wouldn't believe me. trying to bet an overnight, there are places here in Vegas, $100 limits, 100.
So that tells you when the bookies lower the limits, they are scared, right? Which is when I want to get involved. If you picked one, if you're a smart kid, smart adult that wants a new hobby, you pick one conference, focus on college basketball totals, you watch the press conferences, you can do pretty well. Well, it's just tough in big markets.
Yeah, I'm a big believer in that. Like, and I've actually had a pretty crap college basketball season, but where I have had success is with the extra games that have the lower limits. And most of them have a $500 limit, but I'm not looking to go out there and bet $2,000 a game. So for me, when on those lines where there's less people looking at them, and there's a lot of value there.
And just to recap, we're talking two concepts here. One is less liquid markets means the sharpest of the sharp syndicates are not involved.
Right.
Okay, good.
Because they don't want low limit action.
Well, the business doesn't – it's almost like saying taking an air – let's say you say I like Skyline Chili, for example, right? I love it. But I'm not going to fly to Ohio for Skyline Chili. It's price prohibitive. For a syndicate to get involved in betting – they've got to bet, probably a minimum 20, a big syndicate, 20,000 a bet, because they're splitting it eight ways. In fact, explain, they got overhead, et cetera.
Yeah, so if you have 10 guys all with a 10% share and you're betting 500 on a college basketball total, each guy effectively gets $50. And there's a second repercussion. Imagine you pick off a weak number. So if you're betting alone, hey, I win 500, I'll take my chance to get a bookie angry at me. But as a syndicate, you need your outs, and you can lose them just over beating up on a bookie. Let's say you go 8-0 on college basketball totals. You only win $4,000, and then they say, you know what? We don't want your action anymore. Now you just lost an out that you used to be able to bet $50,000 in the NFL against.
Fez is as good as you get at this kind of thing, and he makes a savvy point here, which is not only would the nickel-type bets that were attractive, regardless if it's just an off number or illiquid league like the WNBA, and not only is going to only spread around the syndicate participants in a modest way, but it's also these books don't want that action. And thus, if you're trying to camouflage yourself or you're trying to stay in their good graces, you can't go picking off things. You got to play it straight, almost like in blackjack. You can't be doing like advanced moves if you're counting, right? You got to try to protect the truth of what you're doing, which means as a syndicate, you can't. It's not only that those small bets are not enough, it's you can't make them at all. You can't even benefit from them at all, or it exposes you in a way to scrutiny that you don't want with your outs.
Exactly right. A friend of mine bets $300 every NFL side and total against a book just for camouflage reasons. Hey, if he's playing the entire board, he can't be that sharp. It's not that my friend thinks he's going to win betting those, but he wants to stay in the action and not be so noticeable on the stuff that he has the biggest edge.
And you might say that seems crazy. That's obvious. A lot of this stuff is computer programs. If it's a big enough book, they're doing analysis on players, and they have an algorithm to say this guy's too sharp. And thus, and this was something that if you read about Garry Kasparov back in 96 against Deep Blue, which is a great story of man against technology, and there's all kind of good books on it. He had, at the time, they don't exist anymore, anti-computer moves. He understood, Kasparov, how the computer calculated and would make a move that would throw the computer off because it looked like one thing, but it was another. And thus, with blackjack and with sports betting, there's ways to make a move that the computer programs, and when I say a move, a bet, whatever, it will throw them off.
My signature move in blackjack, RJ, I double down with 16 against a 7 for less. Now I'm going to hit it anyways.
So less than the max amount.
I do the minimum. So if I bet $100 and I got a 16 against a 7, I double down for $5. It costs me about $3 to do that.
In expectation,
but what happens is the computer that's evaluating me says he doubles on 16 against a 7. This guy has no idea what he's doing.
And a human could see that as trying to get people off the trail, but a computer is yet to be sophisticated enough. Now, listen, if they wanted them to be, they don't have, again, it's economics. They don't have the money to get the best computers. Pretty interesting.
Yeah, that's some fascinating stuff. That's some next level stuff. That's like folding the winning hand to give the opponents an illusion that you're to lose a small pot in order to win a big pot later in poker, which is also kind of.
And remember, this is the guy that got multiple days in the main event, I recall, right?
Well, yeah. Well, no, in the senior event this year. Yeah.
Okay. Hey, listen, why not?
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, I was one of the
younger. Playing the senior event. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say I was one of the younger guys in there, so I felt like I had an advantage.
So, Fez, what is it, 50 and above?
50 and above.
Yeah, 50 and above. I played three times and cashed twice. And I love the senior event because it's, in my opinion, AARP is going to be angry at me. Easily the weakest field of any event out there.
Well, listen, I mean, to some degree, it is going to be that, you know, synaptically, just as you get older, that Einstein doesn't matter who it is. Now, the theory is, and I believe this to be true, up until at least 70, if you're in decent shape, that what you gain in most endeavors, you know, the endeavors that people struggle the most with as they get older are so niche, like high mathematics. I don't mean math. I mean like trying to do a proof, and you know, PhD level proof, right? Or the highest level of lyrical writing, like great songs and great poems are usually not written by 60-year-olds. But otherwise, you look at CEOs, you know, usually the 50s and through the, you know, mid-60s and beyond are the best years because you both still have your health typically. Your synapses are firing fine. But, hey, listen, they fired best when you were 14. I mean, so they've been dropping off the whole time. Or it's something where you got all that, but then you got the experience, right?
Exactly.
So, but with poker, there's one other difference. The game moves so fast, meaning the theory. At the highest level, if you're playing with your buddies, you're probably playing as well now as you did, you know, if you're 60 as you when you were 50. But if you're spending time doing computer simulations and attempting to really do game theory optimization, GTO as they call it, this stuff, I mean, literally whatever was the cutting edge 18 months ago is like they laugh at it now. They're moving so fast, unless you have that energy and a lot of Adderall with those young kids, to be online and spending 10 hours a day playing and doing theory, you're just going to fall behind at the highest level. Against the seniors, no one's doing it. So it's back to the way it was 20 years ago, which is just pure skill. It's almost like in a weird way, if everyone in baseball didn't steal signs, if everyone in baseball didn't do PEDs, everyone would be on an even playing field anyway. And that's what Bobby Fischer used to say with chess, is there's so much prep now on the opening that it ruins the game. If you're not, you could be so much more talented at chess than a person that knows all the opens, but they would be using the history of the world for the first 25 moves to beat you because they know all the openers.
And that's why Fischer was such a proponent of this new chess. I don't know if they call it Fischer chess, where you randomly get your pieces put on the first rank, and there's an infinite.
So the theory is it's just pure skill every time.
Yes.
Right? And so in a weird way, when Fred plays and you play the senior, the 50 above, I'll call it, I'm not that far away.
Yeah, I hate that term, senior.
Well, I mean, it is the senior event.
Yeah, let's call it 50 and above.
They actually call it that, though.
So, to me, that is like no one's doing that work, so it's just pure skill again, and that sounds fun to me, actually.
When you win a bracelet in the senior event, does it say senior event on it?
I'm sure it does, yeah.
Is it an extremely large font?
No, I don't know. I don't know. I haven't won. I haven't,
that's funny.
I'm winning
funny.
The bracelet this year. I didn't win it last year, so I can't answer that question. So,
how far did you get in?
I finished 132nd out of 6,000. So
that's pretty darn. Yeah. 6,000 in the senior event?
Yeah.
Well,
I mean,
2,000 of them died before the event
was over.
How many
walkers were there? Were there a lot of walkers?
There were a lot of those damn rascal things running around. Yeah. But
did anyone die during the event?
I don't know, but
that's kind of harsh.
But you know what? If we could get odds on that at somewhere, I'd like to go bet on that when I go out there this year. That, you know, some over under on deaths during the 4-day tournament.
You know what's funny is we got the XFL talk. Obviously, Fez has his best bet coming up. Is Fez actually came to me today and he said, RJ, you think if I say that for some reason we can't give the pick on Straight Out of Vegas and Houston, that more people will go to pregame.com to buy it? And it's just unbelievable. I mean, like, you guys are so lucky that you have me dealing with Fez and he's not just let loose because dirtiest player in the game. But Fez, listen, you're just looking out for the company, right?
Exactly right. I'm helping you here, RJ. I got your best interests in mind. That now they happen to be aligned with mine.
Hey, that's the best
one case.
So. Now I will say this though: four games this weekend, right?
Yes.
You got three picks.
I do.
So you're given one, obviously, and then you got two for up for sale. And I tell you this: we obviously don't talk selling picks here. If there's a time to buy picks, Fez is XFL. This week especially, you put more time into this week than a typical NFL week.
I think I did. Yeah.
Wow. So, nice.
No, with four games? I mean,
wow.
Oh, wow.
Well, right. And you know,
I told you, when he smells money, look out.
I come in with like an 8-page spreadsheet with the XFL, and I got like some handwritten notes on a couple conference tournaments.
I know you've had some success, Fez. I mean, are you out starting to look at you funny about your XFL betting?
You know, and interesting, they're not. And the reason being is that I'm only betting one or two games because there's only four games on the card. Typically, this is the first week I bet three games. And because of that, there's just not enough volume to get me in trouble.
Well, I guess that's
relative to all your other bets.
Right.
So, guys, if you don't mind, before Fez does his XFL and I have to sign off, I want to hear about Houston and small ball because on one hand, you could say, hey, Knicks this week, obviously Clippers, doesn't look so good. My thought was they weren't going to win it with Capella anyway, so shaking things up is a good thing. I think it's hard to say the Rockets' odds haven't improved to win the title, but they were small to start with. And the high variance play cuts both ways. Sometimes they're going to win games they shouldn't, but sometimes they're going to look really bad. If you just look at the math, you know, the Clippers, we did the work, only 2% better defending threes than an average team. So let's assume Houston's 2% less than their average. They would have made like 8 more threes. They would have won the game mathematically. I know the lead was bigger coming in the fourth. So were you guys demoralized by the game or what?
We weren't demoralized because we already knew the Rock. We don't think, neither one of us believe this Rockets team with or without Clint Capella is a championship contender. So it wasn't demoralizing to us, but we did have a guy on who does the show after ours who is a believer. He thinks the Rockets today have a 25% chance of winning the NBA title, which I think is
absurd. Well, listen, there's an opportunity to bet here that we should present him. We'll give him 5-1.
But my belief is that my biggest problem with the Rockets, and it's going to be a bigger problem now without Capella, is that you're talking about a team that is, and really they're two best players, and Russ has kind of figured this out. James hasn't yet. They are not good 3-point shooters, but they shoot more threes than anybody, and it's just to me, it's going to become very difficult to maintain when you're an average at best 3-point shooting team, and the Rockets right now rank 23rd in 3-point percentage, and they rank number one in three point attempts per game, and it's not even close. I don't think that's a good recipe, and the Rockets, I guess mathematically, they believe it will work long term. I don't buy it because they don't have the personnel for it, and James just doesn't know when to stop shooting.
Well, remember now, it's not within anyone's power to optimize as a GM your chance to win the title compared to the platonic ideal. It's given the givens of your circumstances. So if you had a 0.5% chance and now you got a 1% chance, you've doubled your chance. But I agree with you. If you're not a good three-point shooting team, you might say, well, reliance on three is a bad thing, except it really reinforces the mathematics of the game are such that even a bad shooting three team should shoot more threes. And I kind of like not only – I kind of like the fact that, the Rockets are saying, oh, you think Golden State iterated – to the edge, like how the most extreme number of threes. We're gonna. I think they're adding what, almost six new more threes a game. The Rockets, right? Than they were before the trade. Who knows? They might have to change the rules.
I mean,
right?
Or they might have to move. The difference is simple. The Warriors have the two best shooters that have ever played, or two of the three best shooters that ever played the game. The Rockets don't.
But what, let me ask you a question.
They have average shooters.
It's fair to say this. I think it's too easy to say, oh, the Rockets could have won both of those series. But let's just say the Rockets were as close as you can get. Let's not even say they could have won, but they were as close as you could get against maybe the greatest team of all time. You could make the case the Rockets could have beat the greatest team of all time twice in a seven-game playoff series. So were they great three-point shooting team those years?
No.
The Rockets?
No.
So this must work. Or how in the heck did they get so – no team came as close.
I mean, this is a totally different
against
team.
Against the Bulls.
This is a totally different team than it was when they almost beat the Warriors.
I mean, Harden's still there, right?
James is here, but that's about it.
Okay, but it's the same approach. That's I'm saying that this approach from Daryl Morey, it seems proven by the fact that they almost – if there was a way – you know, it's binary. It's winning and losing in our society. And I like that in some ways. But, man, in this case, you could make the case Houston played as well. If there was just power rankings, that you could make the case they were better than the Bulls. Think about it. The theory is Golden State was supposed to be so much the better team, right? So the Bulls used to be even money against the field. Golden State, during their best year, was what, minus 225 when the year started?
Yeah, and Houston was favored to – I think they were favored to beat them both those years that they lost at one point in the series.
At one point in the series.
Right.
But that doesn't matter, right? I mean, it matters, but the key is entering – the key isn't the odds. We're just using the odds to say Golden State was considered to be far and away the best team in the history of the NBA.
Versus, yes, their competition. Yeah, absolutely.
And it's not like the competition is bad now or something, right? So the fact that Houston came as close as you can come to beating the best team of all time means that they could be the second best team of all time. That seems absurd, but isn't that what the math tells us? They had better regular seasons than them, and they were like a shot away in a given spot to beating them. And they really didn't have a team worthy of that. If anything, that tells me that Morey's approach is even more forward-thinking than people realize.
But
how do you
day,
go so mean, close against – yes.
I mean, at the end of the day, isn't the measurable thing actual results, though, not almost? Like, if you go out
it
to
is,
the bar
– it is results, though.
If you go out to the bar
– those games are results.
If you go out to the bar and you almost get laid, guess what? You're going home like a guy who didn't talk to a girl at all night. I mean, it's the same thing at the end of the night. So, to me, getting close...
I can't relate to what you're saying.
Right.
I can't.
Imagine Fez in college at the Northwestern bar scene. Like, Fez, whether he didn't talk to a girl at all or whether he talked one up all night and she gave him a fake number at the end of the night, he still went home.
At least he knew the weather forecast for the next day.
So, but what I'm saying is, if you're not getting the goal, does it really matter how close you are to it?
But listen, AJ, ultimately the simplicity of what you're the caveman-esque thinking you're sharing with us, I find the appeal of that. I hate all the nuance because sometimes it's too much. But Lordy B. is all you can be judged by over the course of a career, I think, winning and losing is fair, over a year or two or three or four, you got to think about more than that. You know, otherwise John Elway would have been like a loser until the very end. And is Marv Levy a bad coach? Jim Kelly, Andre Reed,
but there's a Thurman reason Thompson. Why they're talked
I'm just thinking
about,
of Tecmo Bowl.
There's a reason why they're talked about differently than the guys who did get it done, though.
I agree, but it's still not the same as being the Cleveland Browns.
I guess that's fair.
All right. This is what we'll pick up about, because Fez has a story for next week about how he had four knee injuries playing basketball in pickup leagues, and he limps to this day. But first, XFL.
Yeah, let's go to XFL Sunday night, Tampa Bay, LA, 6 p.m. Pacific time. I'm on the total. I'm on over 40.5 for my best bet. Tampa Bay offense, underrated. Mark Trestman was calling the plays, and he was a bust. Tampa Bay's offense was horrible the first 2 weeks, averaging 6 points per game. They've been averaging 26 since the OC took over the play calling. And the LA offense, I'm going to make the case, is underrated as well. I like Josh Johnson, and Johnson and company struggled in the cold last week. Snow flurries in New York. This is an LA team that practices in warm weather, has played all of their games up to that one in warm weather. The cold really affected that offense. So with the Tampa Bay offense underrated, the LA offense underrated, I expect more scoring. So we're going this game, Tampa Bay, LA, over 40.5.
Excellent. I like Tampa as well. That's my pick for this week. And I'm undefeated in XFL so far. I'm a master, a wizard.
You know, one thing we got to do is I got homework for both of us. Let's look at strength of schedule, because I believe when we talked about Houston and St. Louis and who's better, I think St. Louis has played Seattle and New York and Houston hasn't. And those are my two lowest rated XFL teams. So I'm going to look up some strength of schedule for you for next week.
Sounds good. Love it. All right, guys. Great stuff as always. This was, I think this is one of our better sessions, man. You guys got into some terrific stuff. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it, guys. Have a great weekend to you and, of course, all your listeners.
All right. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. I got to tell you about Carbach and Carbach's Light Circus. Spring Break Concert is coming back, and we're all excited about it. Saturday, March 14th, 6 o'clock out at the brewery. Ghostland Observatory will be playing Ishii with some light displays, and there's going to be beer. Cold, delicious Carbach beer. It's a feast for the senses. You can get your tickets today at CarbachBrewing.com. That's the Light Circus Spring Break, Saturday, March 14th out at Carbach. When you're out there, of course, you'll get some of the great food from the restaurant. They always have great beer on the wall for these concerts, stuff that you might not be able to try otherwise. So definitely worth the trip out. Follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Keep up with everything they've got going on at the brewery, everything they've got going on at the restaurant, and everything they've got going on with the concert series. And when you're out and about this weekend, you know, there's a simple choice to make. You can drink other beer, or you can drink Carbach. So again, when you're if you want to go to that show on Saturday, March 14th, CarbachBrewing.com, and enjoy your Carbach this weekend, guys.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, last segment of the week. Man, this show has flown by. This week has flown by. But, hey, don't leave when we're done, because Late Hits with Patrick Creighton and Jason Braddock coming up at 7 o'clock. Had Jason on a little bit earlier, so you'll get a that's a taste of what you'll get. And a fun show, so make sure you check those guys out. They do a good job. All right, let's wrap it up the way we do every Friday with a little bit of stupid stuff.
Yeah. Stupid stuff we said this week.
I mean, are we really that scared of this thing?
Dude, people are dying, yeah. And there's no, like, there's no answer for it. It's kind of scary.
I don't know. I'm not scared.
All right. I mean, it'll take you before it takes me. You should be scared.
Bring it on.
Okay.
Coronavirus, Corona Light virus, either one.
All right. Jackie's virus.
Yeah. Tecate.
When's your next mock draft due?
March.
Oh.
It
is March. You mean like today?
No. Crap. I got to see. I'm not sure.
Oh,
I think in a
boy.
Week, actually.
Oh, boy. You better get to work.
Let's try a call. Blake, you're on the Blitz. Go. Hello.
Yo, good call.
Wow.
Waited almost from the beginning of the show to get on. And that's what he does.
It is a lot of work to study all those other races.
Like the Hispanics and the Asians.
No, no, no.
Oh, political race.
Yes. Yes. And Viper plus one against Wildcat.
Viper plus one. Ooh, I might go Vipers there.
They seemed to figure something out last week running the ball.
The Wildcats suck. They're so bad.
Yeah, well, they're at home, though.
That's L.A., right?
And somebody says, you also don't have to worry about Tunsil getting coronavirus. He already owns a gas mask.
That's true. Good for him. I mean, honestly, I would vote for Teddy Roosevelt. He's really old now. He was born in the 1800s, which is kind of gross when you think about it. You're the only other guy I know that was born in the 1800s.
Somebody said,
hey, man, you know what will protect you? Arkansas milk. That's right. Coleman milk is coronavirus proof, man. I've heard it. So you're in like a gray area between middle-aged and old. What would you call that? Advanced middle age?
No, I would call it more mature. Oh, no, that's a horrible word for me. Never mind.
Are you like a medium well? Is that what you say?
Yeah, I'm kind of medium well. All I know is that the big time scumbag is trying to sell coronavirus.
Yeah, the food bucket guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Jim Baker. Listen to me. Y'all need to get this special lotion that'll keep you from getting coronavirus. It only costs $6,000 a bottle, and the bottle is enough for you and a family of three. If you have four and you only have $6,000, then that's God's way of telling you, you got a decision to make. Who's the most unholy in your house?
Yeah. Stupid stuff we said this week.
Oh, boy. Fun week.
All right. That's going to wrap it up. Great job, Aaron. Great job, Hoffman. Great job, me. It's a good show today. Good week. Hope everybody has an awesome weekend. Maybe I'll see some of you guys at the Roughnecks game tomorrow. Enjoy that if you're going. Looks like the weather's going to be great. And have fun this weekend. Till Monday, stay sportsy, bitches.